Views expressed on this program are those of the sponsors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot assure profit or protect against loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Capital Retirement Strategies and Cambridge Investment Research are not affiliated.
Welcome to Plan for Life Now, episode 110. Happy leap year, Dave.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's today, right? I should be on top of this. Happy leap year, February 29th. Awesome.
We've got two wonderful support staff that work for us, Amy and Michelle. And Michelle's actually a leap year baby. So I won't announce how old she's turning today, but today is her birthday.
So. I saw something in one of Happy Birthday, Michelle. I saw one of the something in one of the news organizations that a group of people of all different ages take a trip somewhere every year to every 4 years to celebrate. They're all leap year babies of various ages, and they go away somewhere. That's these are probably cool. Mostly baby boomers like me because they have the time and money maybe to go away every 4 years. And they all look kind of older.
Right.
But that's kind of a cool thing to have in common.
Yeah, it's unique. Definitely unique. So we're here recording on wonderful February 29th. And let's just start things off talking about the year so far. Been a pretty good year for the stock market so far. I was just looking, S&P 500 up 6.64% year to date. I didn't look up the NASDAQ, but I'm sure it's up a lot more than that. And if you look at last 12 months for the S&P 500, up 28%. So pretty good returns in the market. And it's amazing that if you just think about 14 months ago, it was just this foregone conclusion that we were going into a recession. It wasn't a question of if, it was just when. Will it be first quarter, second quarter, fourth quarter, whatever? And now maybe possibly we're going to have this soft landing or no landing scenario.
Seems possible. It's always the same. It always just boils down to when things aren't good and there's such a temptation to move some of your money that was in stock, just put some, hey, I'm going to take, if I'm a 60-40 person, I'm going to be 50-50 stocks and bonds for a while things are down. And then I'll just, when things get better, I'll go back and change my portfolio outlook. That's another way of sort of a soft way of saying selling low, and it never makes sense. You get rewarded in this markets in the long run for just holding off. If it makes you feel better not to look at your statement when things are down, just do that.
Right.
Because you get penalized for waiting till things get better and making any move, really.
Yeah. I mean, in this ideal world where we can predict the future, it would be fantastic to say, okay, I think market's getting a little overheated. Let's sell. We'll get back in when it's gone down a little bit, and then we'll buy in just at the right time. It just doesn't work. I mean, you're either too early, you're too late, you get the timing all wrong, you wind up sitting in cash. I love the idea of it. It just doesn't work, right?
No.
It's just not real.
What works are the calls we get when people say, hey, the market's down right now. Can I move a little bit of my safer money of my bonds or put some cash into some stocks or equity funds. Huh. Now that one makes sense.
Unfortunately, Dave, the calls to do that are outnumbered several to one by the ones that, well, the market's down right now. And, you know, let's just get conservative just for now, just for now. And then when things get better, we'll change.
That's the phone on our desk that we labeled crickets. Because that's what you hear chirping when things are down. People dying to put money in the market. But, and I would say, obviously, our clients, this is not you if you're listening, because I would say across the board, with the exception of just a couple, while our clients might be upset and call us a little bit and worried, they don't, as a general rule, pull the trigger. I'm going to go with 97% of them have stayed the course wisely.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about today, Dave, something we've never really talked about this stuff, or at least certainly not dedicated a whole show to talking about financial scams and you know, all the things that have been going on. So let me lay the groundwork here. I want to tell one big story of a friend of mine and a scam that he dealt with. But as he told me this and just, you know, he told me this story and it just kind of blew my mind. This, it's all related to cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all this. He told me this story and I've been amazed by it and repeated it to a lot of friends and whoever. And I was at the dentist on Monday, right? And my dentist, this guy is a real big character. He's a funny guy, you know, one of those people, huge personality. I think if you're a dentist and you want to kind of maintain your sanity, sometimes I think you have to have a little sense of humor there because everybody's not thrilled to come see you all the time.
Yeah, I have dentists like that too. Just the interjection, the problem with them. I like that. As you know, I like talking.
Yeah.
But when you're in the dentist chair, they're saying,
Well, to be clear, it was actually my kids were at the dentist, but I had to be there, you know, to drive them there and all that. So I was not being, you know, examined, have Mr. Thirsty in my mouth. So he knows what I do, and he always loves to talk business with me. He's like, what's been going on? What are you seeing? And this was just a story that I thought that he would like. So I told him the story I'm going to tell everybody here in a minute. But it is a financial scam story. But I thought it was interesting because I tell this story and then the hygienists start coming in from like the other examining rooms and they're telling their stories. They're like, a financial scam story? You know, the first one, she comes in and she's like, I had this friend who thought that she won the publisher's clearinghouse. And, you know, what they told her was, you won the publisher clearinghouse, but you've got to pay us for the escrow or taxes or something. And so this woman sent them like $18,000 because she had won publisher's clearinghouse, you know. So I thought it was interesting that so many people had their own personal stories of going through this. You know, another one, this other hygienist was telling, who's saying, I got this call and it was this guy who claimed to be a DEA agent. And he even texted me his ID. And she was like, I know to look out for these things, but I started believing that I had done something wrong and that I needed to pay off this debt that they said I owed.
You know what? I know what your story is, and I'm not going to interrupt it, but I know it's not these scams. It's a different scam. So on these scams, you know, I always think, my age group and older, I'm 62, are targeted big time for good reason. Yeah. A lot of times we might answer the phone and in general, they just look at general net worth of the people they're scamming. If we're going to get some money, we want people who have more money. In general, more disposable income and stuff like that. But one thing that most of us have in common is that we abide by the law. We live our life normally and we don't have to worry about something we get in an email or a text or a phone call that says we've done something wrong or we must react.
Right.
the something now. I mean, I always think that when I get scammed upon, which is almost every day, some, well, I shouldn't say every day, but you know, like the rest of us, your story is not.
Well, this one's a little different because most of the scams rely on this sense of urgency, the sense of you've forgotten to pay a bill, you've forgotten to pay your taxes, you've got to pay this back right away. This one was a little different. And this one, you know, really hit me hard. So this is my friend, we'll just call him Bob because, you know, I'll broadcast his name all over the place. But Bob is in the financial industry. Right? So he's, you know, he's not an advisor, but he's in the financial industry. So he knows about stuff like this. You know, Dave, you and I, we've got to do compliance training every year. And they talk about, you know, financial scams and things like that. So not that it protects us from getting scammed, but it certainly raises your antenna. So you're a little bit more aware of it. All right. So my friend Bob, he's just sitting on his phone one day, scrolling through Instagram, you know, just a perfect time killer there, or you're just not really doing anything. And he sees an ad on Instagram there for some sort of cryptocurrency, learn about investing in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And like I said, he's in finance, but he doesn't know much about this. So he figures, I think I should probably learn about this, right? Anybody who's finance or finance adjacent, you should probably keep up and learn about these things. So he clicks on this ad. He signs up to go to attend virtually a seminar talking all about cryptocurrency. And he goes to it. It's actually on WhatsApp. So he's, you know, listening, and it's this professor. And I don't know, you know, where the professor is supposed to be from, but he's talking about cryptocurrency and all this trading stuff. And it turns out that it's a daily thing where every night at 7 o'clock, this professor gets on, talks about all this crypto trading. And so Bob goes to this, you know, for like a week or so. And inside the WhatsApp thing, he can chat with other people who are attending the seminar. So it looks like there's probably 50 or 60 different people attending there. So, you know, eventually after he's been going to this, kind of following along, he starts up some chats with people. And, you know, they're like, hey, I'm, you know, my name's Karen. I live in California. You know, I'm a nurse. He starts chatting with them. Yeah, I started using some of these trading strategies. They seem to work pretty well, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, he puts in $2,000, right? Puts in $2,000, and he starts trading based on this professor, right? So every night he's going there, there's all this chat, and they're going into these cryptocurrencies where, you know, they'll trade into them, and the professor tells them when to trade out of them. And actually, the first couple of weeks, he actually got wiped out, because he wasn't following what they were saying, right? So he put in a couple $1,000s, but he wasn't attending these chats, and his value, he kind of missed the trading, got wiped out. He's like, all right, I'll re-up. I'll put in $2,000 more. He takes that $2,000, starts following their trading. He turns it into $20,000. Oh, it's pretty good. That's a 10X return there.
Right.
You know, so he's getting a little more confident, puts in a little bit more money, right? Eventually, he, and all along this time, he's getting to know some of these other people, you know, Karen in California and Rick in New York and, you know, all these other people. So he's got these friends that he's made here and he's trading. Eventually, he winds up putting in about $500,000, right? This is from his retirement account. And he's in his early 60s, so it's money he's saved up. He's trading. He's going along. He gets to a point where his account value is at $20 million.
Crazy.
Imagine this. I mean, this guy, he does well. He's got money, but he's not ultra rich. Now, all of a sudden, he's taken $500,000 and he's turned it into $20 million. And he starts talking with the people, the administrator, runs the chat room and the seminars and everything. And he said, gosh, you know, I think I should take off, you know, 1 million or 2 million, something off of this to just kind of, you know, put some money away. And the woman who was helping him, she said, Bob, I think maybe you should take off half of your gains. And he's, okay, that sounds like a pretty good idea, right? I mean, you made 20 million, take $10 million off.
Sure.
$10 million off. So he starts talking with the account people and they say, okay, here's what we're going to need. We're going to need your bank account number, routing number, your driver's license, blah, blah, blah. Provides all this stuff to them. A week goes by with a lot of, well, it's working, it's processing, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, after a week, they say, oh, well, here's what we forgot to mention. The professor gets 7% of any of your gains. So 7% of $10 million, that's $700,000. Now, at this point, my friend Bob is saying, I don't care. Give the professor his 7%. Go ahead. That's fine. I didn't know that, but all right, give it to him. And I'll just take my 9.3 million and be happy. And they say, well, no, because of blah, 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 laws and this and that, we can't take it out of your gains. You need to wire us $700,000. And this was the moment that he realized it was all a scam. You know,
Right.
this was the moment where he said, oh no, this is not good. And it really just all started to unwind. You know, they wanted him to send this $700,000. Eventually, he reached out to somebody, a journalist, who had written articles about this type of scam. And the journalist actually dug into the weeds with him and went through the transactions that he supposedly made. Now, here's something, it might be a little bit in the weeds for people who don't know about cryptocurrency and blockchain and all of that. If Dave, if I sell a Bitcoin to you, right, there is a ledger of that. There is a recording of that. Doesn't have my name on it, but there's a recording that would say the transaction took place from wallet number 1234 into wallet number 8910, you know, whatever. And so you can see, okay, there was a transaction that occurred. So this journalist went and tried to match up and say, hey, were any of these real transactions? And they weren't. It was
Right. So
all.
basically, it all went through the computers, obviously, of the professor and his group.
Yep. So he, this journalist put him in touch with the FBI. The FBI explained the scam to him a little bit more and said, look, you were, there were not 50 or 60 people in the chat room with you. There was maybe one or two people, maybe, probably just one. And I guess there are, you know, the FBI identified, you know, oh, well, there are three big criminal syndicates. You know, I don't even know where they're located, somewhere overseas, right? I won't I won't get us any particular country angry at us, but you know, somewhere overseas, there's these three big criminal syndicates, and this is all they do, right? They sucker people in with this kind of stuff.
Right.
So the whole story just really amazed me. And quite honestly, I asked him if I could tell this story on the podcast, and I thought he would be okay with it because he said, look, I will tell this story to anybody I can so that it doesn't happen to anybody else. Because, you know, he considers himself, and I think he is, knowing him, a financially sophisticated guy. And this happened, you know, and it's obviously, you can tell probably from me stuttering here that you know, it
It's
really hit me.
disturbing. It's disturbing. And it's, again, it's more than just money. And the money's big in this case. Sounds like $500,000 gone. And
Yeah.
that's a huge deal. But it's also that this happened to you psychologically.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. And you know, part of it is the regulation that I think there's going to be more in the crypto world that you could do things like you do everything else in investing. A lot of protections in investing, right. As all of you know who are listening. Crypto world is obviously they could work out something where they were able to control the investment process.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to that, but let's face it, there are other scams out there that are going to be just as convincing. You know, if this podcast saves one person from losing $1 to this stuff, then it was well worth the recording.
Yeah, and I mean that's kind of a tangent you bring up there. I mean, that's why, you know, I've thought for years that there should be regulated, the SEC should allow regulated investment vehicles such as the Bitcoin ETF to exist, because, you know, with any new industry, if there's a lack of regulation, it's just the Wild West. And that's, you know, I think anybody in the crypto digital asset community wants there to be regulation to, you know, essentially legitimize or put some structure in place, because, you know, things like this give that entire industry a bad name.
Absolutely. It should absolutely be regulated as much as possible and put out there. And this is the reason why. I don't think it's going anywhere at this point. So yeah, this is the reason why.
I think we're long beyond the idea that it's just going to disappear, that all digital assets, cryptocurrency are just going to disappear and go away. You know, I think it will be in some way in the future. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to sit here and make any prediction about Bitcoin or anything else. I don't know. But I don't think at this point it's just going away. All right. Well, I hope, like you said, Dave, I hope we save one person $1 somewhere, or hopefully we save them a lot more than that.
Right. And until then, I just look at all these things I get and say, okay, worst case scenario, I didn't pay this bill they're telling me about, and I'll get a late fee, or I don't even go close to opening these things.
I know.
When I get anything.
But they, you know, I mean, you get the stuff. I mean, in our email, it'll come in. It'll look super confusing or super convincing, where it'll look exactly like the DocuSign email that you'd normally get. So I've found myself on numerous occasions hovering over something going, wait a second, that looks real. But, you know, so we've all got to have our antenna up and just be skeptical of anything you hear like that. And, you know, I think one of the things that they often prey on in a lot of these is you can't tell anybody else. You can't call up your son, your daughter, your friend, whoever. The sense of urgency is usually the thing that they're pressing there.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We will check back with you all again real soon.